there's some research that recently came out that suggests that regular physical activity, typically about 2.5 hours a week, that can actually create those new brain cells and help lower the risk of dementia. And that some exercise can also at times have as big of an impact on our mood as an antidepressant medication. So the benefits of physical activity are real. And what I love about it is that it's one of those things that, not only double dips or quadruple dips, because it impacts our sleep, our energy, our mental performance, our brain health, and our mood.
Welcome to the Secrets of Supermom show, where we explore how successful, busy moms battle overwhelm, beat burnout, and stay happy in the process. I'm your host, Lori Oberbreckling, wife, mom of four, corporate executive, photographer, and author of the book Secrets of Supermom, how extraordinary moms succeed at work and home, and how you can too. Hey, hey, friend, welcome to episode number 181 of the Secrets of Supermom show. Do you often feel like your calendar is maybe running your life instead of you running it? Join our Spring Clean Your Calendar Challenge, designed specifically for busy moms like you who deserve more balance and control in their daily lives. For 4 days, we'll guide you through practical and actionable steps to organize, declutter, and purge to ultimately optimize your calendar. Say goodbye to overwhelm and chaos and hello to a more organized and purposeful schedule that works for you and your family. Go from scattered, unorganized, or wildly overscheduled, I know that's lots of you, to a plan you actually look forward to tackling. Now, isn't that a breath of fresh spring air? Head to secretsofsupermom.com/spring to get all the details. Dr. Lindy Fields joins us today to dive into brain health and the impact on your personal happiness and mood. Y'all, I love talking about how we can create habits in our lives that actually let us be happier, like all the time. So I was thrilled to be connected with Dr. Lindy. Dr. Lindy Fields, she is a mom, she's a wife, she's a dog mom, she's a neuropsychologist, and she's going to talk a little bit about what that means on the show. And she's founder of Brain Doc On Demand, where she equips individuals with science-based insights to improve brain health through online courses, coaching, and speaking engagements. She has been on Mind Body Green, Her View from Home, and Today Parenting Team, and she is on a mission to bring brain science to life, helping busy individuals like us build healthier and happier brains. I'm just so excited to introduce you to Dr. Lindy.
Hey, hey, friends, welcome to the show. I'm super excited. Dr. Lindy Fields is here with me today. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, this is a great topic. One that I can't really wait for the answers to my questions that I want to ask you. So I'm super excited to dig in. But I would love first, if you will just tell us a little bit about you and your family and why you do what you do.
Sure. Yes. So I am a mother to a sweet, fun, and wild toddler and to a dog who acts like he's human. I'm also a wife and a neuropsychologist. So a neuropsychologist is a clinical psychologist who specializes in the brain and behavior. I'm also a clinician, a business owner, a speaker, and a writer. So just like you and a lot of the listeners, I wear a lot of hats. So I know what it's like to be trying to do all of the things for all of the people and also try and make time for ourselves. And that's what I'm passionate about helping people to do.
Yes, I love that. And I love that we get to dig into some brain science about it today, right? Yes. So I work in my day job, I am in neuroscience in the research side. And so it is super fun for me to learn literally anything about brain health, brain science, right? How we do things. And I know that our listeners are super into this too, because they want to do things better, but it's really fun for them to know why, right? Like mm-hmm. what works, why does it work? And oh, that could work for me, right? And so it's fun to find things that aren't just stories, but are actually based in science. And we know that they make things possible. And so today we are really going to talk about happiness and mood and brain health when it comes to that, because I know that many of us have this maybe nebulous goal of being happier, right? We want to be happier. We want to be happier, or we want our children to be happy, but that feels very, maybe not unattainable, but it just feels like it's unreachable because it doesn't feel like it has a straight path, right? We can't say, oh, this will make me happy. But you say that the brain science actually has things that do boost mood, that do boost mental health, that do boost brain health. So I want to dive into that.
Yes, I love talking about this. This is my favorite topic. So how to build a healthier and happier brain. And thankfully, there's tons of research on this. And one thing that I noticed is, you know, throughout my several years of training and grad school and then residency, fellowship, I was learning about, you know, the research, the science behind how to decrease our risk of dementia, how to lower the risk of anxiety and depression, how to help preserve our memory. But I realized there's a huge gap in terms of getting that information out to people to make it useful in our day to day. So clinically, you know, I do spend some of my time as a clinician, primarily working with individuals later in life with memory loss or dementia. And I was finding that a lot of times, the first time that those individuals or their family and their younger children were hearing that lifestyle habits matter in terms of helping to preserve our brain and create new brain cells, that was the first time they were hearing that, when we know that the earlier we start these healthy habits, the bigger the impact they can have. You know, of course, it's never too late. It's never too early to start building healthier changes. But I was seeing that there's this big gap in terms of communicating this, you know, to people who really need it. So the habits we are using in our 30s, 40s, and 50s set the foundation for our future in terms of our health, our happiness, and our dementia risk. But it's also then modeling behaviors for our kiddos and our other family members, which the earlier we start living these healthy habits, the better.
Yeah, I think that that is so powerful. And I mean, we hear about healthy habits, right? We hear about you should have a workout habit and you should have a food habit. You should have a habit of brushing your teeth. You should have a habit of drinking water. You should have a habit of, right, like all of the things. But I don't know that we often think, I need to do this because it boosts my brain health, because it boosts my mood, right? And personally, the changes that have stuck for me, the like movement changes, fluid changes, as far as like drinking the right amount of water and when, and food changes, have actually stuck the most when I tied them back to my mood. And when I tied them back to actually the way that they made me feel mentally, I love the way they make me feel physically, but mentally was so much more powerful than I ever actually realized, and thought, whoa, I could feel like this all the time if I do this consistently, right? And that's way more powerful for me than losing 5 pounds or like having an inch lost off my hips, right? These things are way more powerful. So when we're talking about some of these health habits, are we talking simple physical habits like I'm kind of mentioning, or are we talking about other things as well?
Yeah. So the things that you're mentioning, as well as some others, you know, there's research on a variety of different physical, cognitive, and social activities that help preserve our brain health. That's kind of the general rule of thumb. So the research says the best things that we can be doing for a healthier brain are to get movement, so physical activity, to stay socially engaged, so socializing with others, you know, continuing to foster relationships and maintain those, as well as just cognitively engaging activities. That can be learning something new. It can be playing games, doing puzzles, keeping track of statistics for your favorite sports teams, building something. All of those things are different cognitive activities that exercise our brain. So the good news is that oftentimes a lot of the things that help our brain stay healthy are also things that help preserve our mental health too. So relationships, physical activity, those have proven benefits in terms of stress relief and mood improvement too. And so I feel like on the one hand, that type of information can be intimidating because it sounds so vague that it's almost daunting. Okay, so I need to stay physically, socially, and cognitively active. What does that look like when I'm busy throughout the day?
Yeah. What does that look like when I'm so like my life, my mom life is so busy. You mentioned you're all the things that all the hats you wear, right? Your mom life is so busy. So how do I also do this, right? Yes. I think that's a question we're probably asking ourselves.
Yeah. And so oftentimes people hear, yep, I should be exercising. It's good for my heart. They say for the brain too, but really tying it back to what the research shows in terms of how it affects our mood, which like you said, we see those benefits immediately. And also with our brain, we see those benefits immediately in just the hours immediately after exercising. There are proven kind of enhancements to our cognitive performance. We focus better. Our thinking speed is quicker. We're just more efficient in terms of our thinking. So we feel better when we're exercising. And over the long term, that helps to decrease the risk of dementia. It helps to actually create and develop new brain cells in the part of the brain in charge of memory. So the hippocampus is kind of the big player in the brain in terms of memory. And there's research suggesting that if we continually, you know, have an exercise habit, whether that's walking, even oftentimes we hear that we need to be exercising. And I think we have in our mind that, okay, I need to train for a marathon.
Right.
That's not the case. It can look so different depending on what you're interested in. I don't like running races. That's not interesting to me. So I'd rather walk or go for a run because I feel like it. Or oftentimes, honestly, my exercise is having a dance party in the kitchen
right.
at this stage of life. Right. And that's what makes it fun for me. So it's finding ways that you can engage in moving your body more and those healthy habits, but in a way that fits into your life, whether it's, you know, 2 15-minute walks, because honestly, we don't have a 30-minute segment of time throughout the day. Just what it looks like for you to get moving and do it consistently to where you can incorporate it into your daily routine. That's where we see the big benefits. You know, there's some research that recently came out that suggests that regular physical activity, you know, typically about 2.5 hours a week, that can actually create those new brain cells and help lower the risk of dementia. And that some exercise can also at times have as big of an impact on our mood as an antidepressant medication. So the benefits of physical activity are real. And what I love about it is that it's one of those things that, you know, not only double dips or quadruple dips, because it impacts our sleep, our energy, our mental performance, our brain health, and our mood.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you said it doesn't have to be hard, right? She didn't say go to the gym and, you know, practice your deadlifts, right? She said, right, you can go for a walk. You can have a dance party in your kitchen. That these things are so powerful. And I know we know about the body, powerful to the body, right? Like as far as muscle tone and those sorts of things. But I love the talk about the brain health part. Like I love the part about it making me happier, right? I feel that. And I know other people feel that. But I also love that you talk about brain health, you know, protecting your brain for the long term, because I think a lot of us would like to keep our brain, right? We'd like to keep that brain healthy. We'd like to live into old age with mental stability, right? Mental power, being able to remember our friends and our family and all of those things. But also, I think you mentioned focus. And I know so many of us have difficulty focusing, right? We feel like we have to focus on 20 different things. We have all these decisions to make. Everything feels like our mind is spinning all the time. And you're saying that even moving your body can help with focus. I assume making those types of things easier, faster, smarter. And, you know, in our world, when we talk about being more productive, if I can quick make decisions and if I can focus well, I'm automatically going to be able to get more of the things I want to get done because my brain is working for me.
Yes, exactly. And there's so many things that impact our attention and our focus. So it's one of those things that is impacted by pretty much everything. We're not feeling well, it's hard to focus. If we are stressed, it's hard to focus. If we are feeling anxious, it's hard to focus. If we're depressed, it's hard to focus. Attention is impacted by our sleep, all of those things. So the same strategies that are helpful for managing stress and for brain health, you know, whether that's exercise, getting a good night's rest, and prioritizing sleep, which I know is easier said than done. But when we can do those things that we think of as self-care with a mindset of, I'm not just doing this to, you know, take care of myself, but I'm actually going to have a sharper, more efficient brain because I'm doing these things. So I'm going to feel happier, better able to manage stress. I'm going to have a healthier brain, and I'm going to be able to focus better as well because I'm taking time to get a good night's sleep, because I'm taking time to exercise, because I'm taking time to meditate. So I feel like, at least personally, that's helped me to feel like, okay, I'm going to allow myself to prioritize these things, because I know it, there's always a million other things that we feel like we should be doing. There's always things on the to-do list that will never get done. And so it's allowed me to feel more comfortable in terms of, you know, saying, okay, although I'm busy, I'm going to carve out these 20 minutes to go for a walk, or I'm going to spend time doing this because it's important for me. And it's also going to have downstream positive impacts in other areas of my life.
Yeah. I want to ask you about making time for this, right? Mm-hmm. Because I talk about it, right? And we do weekly planning in my system. We do weekly planning. So we plan out our whole week one time, right? At in a specific time point during the week. And the very first thing we do is plan for what I call energy management, but it's all the same things that you're talking about that are there for brain health, right? Those things that are going to make everything else easier because they make it easier to focus. They give us the attention. They make us happier. They give us energy, right? And so we focus on those things. And so in my process, we plan for that first, and then we put in all the other things. Cause like you said, the to-do list is never going to be over, right? You're not going to get to the end of the week and say, well, look at that. My to-do list is done. I literally have nothing to do. No mom has said that ever. So we know that's not true. How do you personally, or people that you work with, make the time to actually make these things happen, knowing they're so important, but often the thing that gets pushed?
Yes, yeah. Definitely. So prioritizing, just like you said, mm-hmm. we have to prioritize it. And I am all about having these things on my calendar. Mm. For me, that's where my to-do list lives. And so if it's not on my calendar, then it's probably not going to get done.
Yeah.
So kind of blocking time for those important things, and also, you know, looking for natural breaks. So, you know, I like to have kind of a section of time where I'm going to exercise, but also have a backup plan because life happens. So, you know, for me personally, I like to get it done first thing in the morning, but if the toddler's not sleeping, then that's not happening because I'm going to want to sleep a bit more. So having a backup plan and, you know, giving yourself a bit of grace and being flexible in those situations too, which can be hard. But research actually shows that having that kind of I'll make it work, I'll fit it in somewhere mindset, rather than an all or nothing, you know, if I don't work out at 4:30 a.m. every day, it's not going to happen. That more flexible mindset is actually going to give us more success in the long term. You know, so I try and keep that in mind. I have a plan, but also a backup plan. And I also use, you know, looking for natural breaks. So between meetings, oftentimes we might have, you know, 5-10 minutes when we can't really get much done on a project, but it's time we might reach for the phone and scroll, you know, check notifications or email. So trying to be mindful of those natural breaks in our day and incorporate or sprinkle in small habits. So, you know, these activities like physical activity, going for a walk, or mindfulness meditation, there's so much research about the benefits of mindfulness, like relaxing breathing. And that's something that our brain can, you know, can get more efficient at over time. So I like to sprinkle in little 5-minute sections of time where I might do a meditation on an app, or just go old school and app free with a relaxing breathing exercise. And that helps kind of exercise my brain, get some of those stress management skills working in even just 5 to 10 minutes throughout the day, and also tracking my time. So this is kind of one of psychologists', you know, favorite ways of starting to change a behavior when you're trying to add in healthy habits, and taking, you know, just one day of your time even, and just tracking how you're spending it, which now with smartphones, we can use the app that keeps track of how much time we're on our phone, which I did that once. I did not like what it said.
I did not like the results that came from that tracking.
So I turned it off, but I have turned it back on occasionally. But when we see, you know, how much time that we are, you know, wasting between meetings, or with that we're scrolling through social media, checking notifications, or looking through Zillow when we have no, you know, no desire to move, actually, those are 5 to 10 to 15 minute sections of time that we could be doing something else. Mm. We could be incorporating some physical, cognitive, or social activity, you know, whether that's a phone call or a video chat with a friend or family member, a meditation exercise, doing something creative like journaling in order to get some of that cognitive activity. All of those are opportunities that we could work into our existing schedule in order to get those little boosts throughout the day.
Oh, I love that. I was going to ask you specifically about, because we talked a lot about the physical stuff. I mean, I think you can feel that so quickly, right? So the physical is an easy example. But I was going to ask you about the social and the cognitive pieces, because I was thinking in my schedule, I love to be social. I am the extrovert's extrovert, right? Like, I could be around people all day long, every day with no breaks, and be totally happy and energized by that. That is just my personality. But if I don't schedule with friends that I love, with family that I want to see, those things don't happen automatically, because life just lifes for me, right? Mm-hmm. So I have to schedule those. And you're saying, yeah, schedule that time in too. Schedule in a quick FaceTime with a friend. Schedule mm-hmm. in a quick phone call between meetings that you can, you know, just be like, hey, how are you? Or text messaging with somebody, right? Being able mm-hmm. to have those social connections. And then the cognitive examples you gave of learning new things, are you scheduling those types of things in too? So like, if you wanted to, I don't know, learn to paint or something, are you going, okay, I'm going to intentionally schedule this into my life?
So with that, what I oftentimes do is I like to learn new things through podcasts. That's one of the things I love to do. And I feel like it's very efficient too, because I'll do it while I'm driving. So I feel like it's kind of an easy way to schedule it in there. So I like to kind of go through and save, you know, podcasts for the week that'll teach me something new. Otherwise, you know, scheduling in time to journal, you know, that's a cognitive activity, or to just do some writing or blogging. Or if there's some new skill that I'm trying to learn, you know, whether that's photography or something like that, then I kind of think of, okay, is that something I could incorporate this weekend, or when might I do that?
Yeah, I love that. My daughter loves to paint, and I am not great at painting, but they often do a mommy and me, or like an adult and child class. And so I take those every once in a while, 'cause I figure I should learn. I can, you know, practice my brain health. And it also just is sort of soothing, 'cause there's nothing else to focus on, right? You're just focusing on that for an hour and a half. No one's got a phone, no one's got anything else. And so it's just a very practice activity that I like to do. But I, of course, love your podcast example, because that is my probably favorite way to learn new things, to, you know, to get deeper on a topic. I love that too. Lindy, this has been so, so good. I want to ask you a couple of things we love to ask all of our guests.
Of course. Yes, please.
Our very first question is, when do you feel most like a supermom?
Yes. Yeah, so most like a supermom. You know, I feel like it depends on the day. But really when I feel like I'm really living in alignment with my values. Mm-hmm. So when I am, you know, being a mom, we all have to prioritize and reprioritize a million things every day and juggle all the things. So when I'm true to myself and spending time the way that I feel like I'm spending it intentionally and with the people most important to me, that's when I feel like a super mom. So, also when I'm, you know, living my values and taking care of myself and setting a good example for my son. So when I get done with a run and I come back and he says, "Oh, mom, you were exercising. I want to exercise." So then we have a little dance party in the kitchen too. You know, that makes me feel like, okay, I can take some time in order to care for my own, you know, health, while also being a good example for him and teaching him those things too. And we can do it together. So when I'm living my values, spending my time according to those, and also just, you know, spending time embracing the moment with my son and my family.
I love that. I love that. We also love to ask, what's one small step busy moms can do today to get started? Essentially, if they could only do one little thing and get one little takeaway, what could they do?
Yes. Find 5 to 10 minutes today that you can sprinkle in one of these brain healthy habits. So whether that's a phone call, learning something new, more movement, or meditating, just commit to 5 to 10 minutes. And then each day, just try and do 1% more. You know, imagine where we can be a year from now if we just consistently commit to 5 to 10 minutes a day and then just keep building on that. And also make it fun. You know, we like to do things that we enjoy and that are fun for us. And that's really the trick to getting these habits to stick, is being flexible, having these habits be something unique that you enjoy doing, and also starting now. So that's my fun acronym, is be flexible, have these habits be unique, and then now. There's no better time to start healthier habits than right here, right now. Start small and keep going.
Love it. Lindy, tell us where to find you online.
Yes. So you can follow me on LinkedIn or Instagram. That's where I typically share tips and tricks to build healthier, happier brains. And also I'm online on my website, which is braindocondemand.com. And that's where you can find information on speaking engagements, online courses, and coaching for well-being and productivity. And yeah, you can sign up for the email list so you don't miss anything. And I do have a toolkit online right now that helps to incorporate the strategies we talked about today. It's called Own It, Creating Your Personal Path to More Joy, Less Stress, and a Healthier Brain. And there's a toolkit that walks you through some cognitive exercises in order to come up with your own plan.
Love it. So good. I have just loved this conversation today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so fun.
Thanks for listening to the Secrets of Supermom show. It doesn't have to end here. Head over to secretsofsupermom.com and take the quiz to find out your personalized supermom superpower. Or if you want to hang out in the next best thing to real life, join me at Secrets of Supermom on Facebook or Instagram. Big hug, y'all.